To celebrate today's holiday, Morning Edition sent an invitation that many of you heard and answered. Actually, it was more of an assignment. To write an essay describing where in the country you feel most American, most connected to history. Hundreds of listeners sent essays about Gettysburg or the Golden Gate Bridge, the Statue of Liberty, Lexington Green, the Lincoln Memorial. But the essays that stood out deal with places you don't always hear about on the 4th of July. Smaller places, smaller stories about neighborhoods and families. The kind of stories we all carry with us or wish we did.
My name is Karen Armbrust. Every year in my village of Wayne, Illinois, population 2,000, we have a one-block parade down the main street. I know that we're getting close to starting as I see Bill, a retired Chicago businessman, drive up in his 1900 red fire engine. When the parade starts, there's no music. Everyone just yells and talks to each other. We've bought candy to throw, but we've decided to throw it behind us as we walk. You see, there's very few spectators to our parade. Most everyone in Wayne is in the parade. As the parade dissolves, a four-man Dixieland band starts to play. The president of the Wayne Community Association thanks everyone who's participated, naming each individual and patiently waiting for the applause. There are flags everywhere.
My name is Frank Petrus. My sense of America comes from being born and raised in Lyons, New York, over our family's Italian restaurant next to the railroad tracks.
The family business lasted for 40 years. And when you grow up in a restaurant, he says, the whole place is your home.
Your living room was the bar, your dining room was the dining room of the restaurant, and your kitchen was the restaurant kitchen. And to me, there was this connection with all of the regulars, people who worked on the railroad, people who were lawyers in town, friends and families that went beyond just my own family. So when I think of America, the best of America, it's really the sense of connections.
My name is Hollis Engley. I live in Falmouth, Massachusetts.
Engley says his bit of America is a short ferry ride away from Falmouth on the island of Martha's Vineyard, where his family has a 300-year-old house.
Stand at the top of the worn attic stairs and look up. A house built today has straight beams of planed wood. This one has crooked beams that were once clearly trees, flattened on two sides, some of them still carrying pre-revolutionary bark. I can run my hand across the walls and feel the work of men who died before George Washington was born.
My name is Darlene Grant. I experience a simultaneous ache and awe when I pass a cotton field. It's a time when I think of my grandmother's clapboard shotgun house with the tin roof in Forkland, Alabama, the summers of my childhood. My two younger sisters and I would play slavery in the cotton field, not 50 feet away from the house. I generally run off yelling, "It was my turn to be Harriet Tubman," as my mother, granny, and aunts would shake their heads at our youthful exuberance and ignorance. Back then, they were closer to the real story. Yet I must acknowledge, I feel my freedom and feel it most acutely when I see cotton fields. I am the legacy of Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and others, including my gun-toting great-grandmother, a former slave.
My name is Beth Powers, and I'm originally from eastern Kansas. I've not always been patriotic, but my immigrant husband has helped me strengthen my love for the United States. I met my husband while I was teaching English in his hometown of Guiyang, China. He came to the U.S. speaking no English, with a battered trumpet in his bag and the hope of resuming his career as a classical musician. I remember driving with him over the Flint Hills in East Central Kansas when we first arrived. Yes, Kansas has hills. The miles of uninterrupted rising and falling hills, combined with the dust in the air and the clouds blowing over the prairie, make for some of the most exquisite sunsets we've ever seen. After that first trip, he said to me, "Now I understand Copland's music better."
I'm Lon Osmond, and most summers of my growing up years were spent on my grandparents' cattle ranch in Star Valley, Wyoming. My grandfather raised beef cattle, Angus and Herefords, just as his father did before him. I'd arrive at the ranch each year on Memorial Day, just in time for branding. One person would brand the side of a new calf with my grandpa's initials, another person would remove its horns with a saw. My job was to grab an ear and attach an ear tag. And even though the ranch is still there, run now by my uncle, for me it's a screensaver photograph on my office computer and a wonderful memory of an America my son may never know.
My name is Anita Citrin. I live in Queens, New York. I always identified Brooklyn, Williamsburg in particular, as an American place with a history. It seemed vastly used, very foreign, the starting point for new immigrants. Every weekend, I was at my grandparents' fourth-floor walk-up apartment with the urine and fish smells in the hallways, the marble stairs worn from thousands of footsteps. There were the businesses we never saw in Queens, the egg candlers, the pickle makers, the ice delivery man. Brooklyn was the ancient place for me, like a place you would expect to find cave paintings or pottery shards.
My name is John Phelan, and I live in Baltimore, Maryland. Several weeks ago, in a vast suburban grocery store, I was suddenly overcome and almost embarrassed by the quantity and variety of what was available to me. I remember thinking, with what's in this one store, we could feed an entire third world nation. Then, I heard a family speaking in a language I didn't understand and couldn't quite place. As I watched them going about this most American of activities, making choices, I started looking around at everyone, making note of each ethnicity, language, and facial hue. And I realized I was taking in the soul of America, the abundance of choice and opportunity, and the diversity it attracts and celebrates. As I drove away, more grateful than embarrassed, I looked up through my open sunroof and said aloud, "This is a great country, and I forgot to get pretzels."
Many of you were almost sheepish about admitting where you feel most patriotic, in an airport. Here's a typical story from Sarah Smith of Maplewood, New Jersey. She talks about landing in the States after a difficult trip overseas.
As I walked up to the customs agent, my feelings must have been clear on my face because he looked at me and said, "Rough trip?" I nodded. He put his hand gently on my shoulder and said two simple words, "Welcome home." Until that moment, I had not particularly thought of myself as an American, but suddenly the word home had a new meaning.
The word home shows up in your essays almost as much as the word country. Here's one more story about both. It's from Rebecca Shaleen, who talks about her family's dairy farm in Verona, Missouri. She doesn't live there anymore, but when her grandfather died a few months ago, she went back for the funeral.
As I wandered around viewing the 3 centuries of gravestones that bear my surname, I noticed the small blocks of stone that mark the plot that my parents have reserved for themselves and for me. And it is some strange comfort to me to think of being there someday, close to home, close to family, and more than anything, close to the brown, red Missouri dirt that has nourished my family for as long as I can remember. My father swears that we'll never let the farm go out of the family. I hope to be able to keep that same promise to my children. I want them to know where home is.
Thanks to all of you who sent essays about where you feel most connected to America.